Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 32. In this chapter, Jeremiah bought a piece of land that was under the Babylonian siege as an object lesson to show that he believed in the sure hope of the return of Israel from the coming Babylonian captivity. Let's begin by reading the first 15 verses. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, "Why do you prophesy and say, 'Thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it.' And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape from the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him face to face, and see him eye to eye. Then he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall be until I visit him, says the Lord. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not succeed." And Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, your uncle, will come to you, saying, Buy my field, which is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it.' So I bought the field from Hanamel, the son of my uncle who was in Anathoth, and weighed out to him the money, 17 shekels of silver. And I signed the deed and sealed it, took witnesses, and weighed the money on the scales. Then I charged Baruch before them, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this purchase deed, which is sealed, and this deed, which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may last many days. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land.'" Let's begin our study of Jeremiah chapter 32 with some background notes. We see in verse 1 that the events of this chapter took place in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, and in the 18th year of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. That would be the year 587 BC. And we see from verse 2 that Jerusalem was already under siege by the Babylonian army. The Babylonians are called Chaldeans as well, as we see in this chapter. Jeremiah was a prisoner in the court of the royal guard at this time, because King Zedekiah did not like Jeremiah's prophecies predicting the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians, verse 3, as well as the king's own capture and exile in verses 4 and 5. By the way, there is no contradiction here between verse 4, which says that King Zedekiah would see and speak with the king of Babylon, and Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 13, which says that Zedekiah would not see Babylon, even though he would die there. 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 6 and 7, harmonizes this apparent contradiction. Zedekiah saw King Nebuchadnezzar at Riblah, a staging area for prisoners, before being taken to Babylon. But it was there that Zedekiah's eyes were put out, and he was transported as a blind captive to Babylon and never saw Babylon. It was while Jeremiah was confined to the court of the guard and while Jerusalem was under siege that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah about redeeming a piece of property for his cousin, Hanamel, who was coming to him. Under the law, we see in Leviticus chapter 25 that a near relative was to redeem family property that had been lost or sold for one reason or another. Remember the story of Ruth? The unusual circumstance here, of course, was that this property was already in enemy hands. Who would be so foolish as to buy back a piece of property that seemed like it would never again be available for possession and ownership? And that brings us then to our doctrinal points for Jeremiah chapter 32. So doctrinal point number one, God's promises to Israel were fulfilled in the past. God's promises to Israel were fulfilled in the past. Let's continue reading verses 16 through 25. "Now when I had delivered the purchase deed to Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. You have brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, and with great terror. You have given them this land of which you swore to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and took possession of it. But they have not obeyed your voice or walked in your law. They have done nothing of all that you commanded them to do. Therefore you have caused all this calamity to come upon them. And you have said to me, O Lord God, buy the field for money and take witnesses. Yet the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans. We saw in the first 15 verses of this chapter that Jeremiah followed through with the directions from the Lord to buy back the piece of property for his cousin. In this case, the cousin apparently thought that the property was no longer of value since it was in enemy hands, and so he turned it over to Jeremiah for a price and kept the money himself. Notice from verses 8 and 9 that the property was in Anathoth. That was Jeremiah's hometown. The reason, of course, that Jeremiah was making this legal proceeding so public was that he was using it as an object lesson in faith. God had promised that while the people of Judah would go into captivity because of their sins, he would also bring them back to their land. Remember Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 11, which said, "And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years." And Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 10, which said, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place." Buying the piece of land that was already under enemy control was evidence of Jeremiah's faith in God's promises. Let me ask you, would we have shown such faith in the midst of the enemy siege? In verses 16 through 25, Jeremiah seems to have had second thoughts about buying the piece of property, or at least he wanted some confirmation from the Lord that he had done the right thing. On the one hand, Jeremiah knew that nothing was too hard for the Lord, verse 17. After all, the Lord created the universe and brought his people out of Egypt and into the land, verses 20 through 22. But on the other hand, Israel had sinned, and the siege mounds surrounding the city were certainly an indication that the nation was reaping what they had sown, verses 23 and 24. "Lord, are you sure I did the right thing in buying this piece of property?" That would be a paraphrase of what Jeremiah said in verse 25. The Lord reaffirmed Jeremiah in the rest of the chapter, and we know that God did fulfill his promises to Israel and bring them back to their land after his discipline of the 70-year Babylonian captivity. God's promises to Israel were fulfilled in the past. Doctrinal point number two: God's promises to Israel will be fulfilled in the future. God's promises to Israel will be fulfilled in the future. Let's read the rest of the chapter, verses 26 through 44. "Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, 'Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans who fight against the city shall come and set fire to the city and burn it, because of all the evil of the children of Israel and the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city of which you say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in great wrath. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great calamity on this people, so I will bring on them all the good that I have promised them. And fields will be bought in this land of which you say it is desolate, without man or beast. It has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men will buy fields for money, sign deeds and seal them, and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah, in the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the lowland, and in the cities of the south. For I will cause their captives to return, says the Lord. In these verses, the Lord assures Jeremiah that nothing is too difficult for the Lord. Verse 27, once again. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God would allow the Babylonians to conquer Jerusalem because of Judah's sins, verses 28 through 35. But in the future, God would bring the people back to the land and back to himself, verses 36 through 44. The promises to Israel in these verses certainly go beyond the return of the Jewish people from their Babylonian captivity. In verse 37, God promised that he would gather them out of all the lands of all countries where he had driven them, not just Babylon. This prophecy has not yet been fulfilled. However, the Jewish people are returning to the land today from all around the world. So this prophecy is certainly beginning to be fulfilled. Verses 38 and 39 promise that the people will be restored spiritually to the Lord. That did not take place after the Babylonian captivity, but it will take place in the future. In verse 40, we have the promise of the everlasting covenant. This is again the promise of the new covenant of Jeremiah chapter 31. We saw there that this promise was not fulfilled in the return from the Babylonian captivity, but it will be completely fulfilled in the future with Israel. And the promises of the restoration of all the land and all the fortunes of Israel in verses 43 and 44 have not yet taken place, but they will be fulfilled in the future. God's promises to Israel will be fulfilled in the future. Practical application from Jeremiah chapter 32. Step out in faith with your money. Step out in faith with your money. When Jeremiah stepped out in faith and bought the piece of property that was in enemy hands, it involved more than words. It involved money, 17 shekels of silver, more than a token amount. Now, do you see the obvious practical application for us? Too often, we get away with showing our faith by mere words and don't back it up with our money, except for token amounts. Money is the real test of our Christian faith. As the Lord said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. How much of our money is going into what really counts forever? The way we use our money is a measure and vivid description of our faith. Step out in faith with your money.